What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Drop the Mitts Hockey Podcast, brought to you in partnership with Primetime Productions. I am your host, Chris Davis. We are on episode 36. After last week, took a couple weeks off. We got back into the swing of things last week. Happy to be back. And Jesus, do we have an episode for you today? Man, everywhere from Twitter heroes to the NCAAs, Hobie Baker predictions. We've got a star-studded episode and guest for you all today. And let's get right into it. Lots been happening. A lot of crazy so-called reporters, media members dying for clicks. And the first thing I want to bring up is how beautiful the fact that the hockey community came together in the defense of Zach Hyman against Andrew Berkshire. I mean, what an absolute Nimrod. And listen, this is just me talking off the riff, and I'm going to try to keep it as respectful as possible. Man, pretty much taking away the fact that Zach Hyman, as a 31-year-old, managed to score 50 goals and still going. Still scoring. Just absolute poetic justice. The other night, this tweet comes out. The Twitter sphere fucking blows up. Everyone comes to Zach Hyman's defense. You know, names Ryan Whitney, the spitting chiclets guy. Bobby Ryan with the tweet of the fucking year. Listen, I saw Carlo Koliakovo, our Tim Peel, all these guys coming to his defense. Such a beautiful thing. And just, some of the backstory is Andrew Berkshire, who is a writer, media member. I don't know what the fuck. A hockey analyst, writer, and more stuff too. Yeah, okay. Came out he woke up and chose war, I guess, because with one of the most outrageous takes I've ever seen in my life, coming out with a tweet. In media, we have a responsibility to tell stories, but too often they're just not honest. The narrative around Zach Hyman's first 50-goal season, for example, erases the real reason it was possible. It wasn't just hard work. This bimbo goes on to say, because he grew up wealthy, his parents gave him every opportunity. Again, just complete and utter bullshit. To say that it's not, to even bring that up, I mean, I was listening to Morning Cup of Hockey, not coffee, as my dumbass said with Colby Cohen in our interview. Bobby Ryan said it best, man. Like, we should be applauding Zach Hyman's parents for putting him in a position to succeed and do so well. Again, this was just one of the most outrageous takes I've ever seen in my life. And again, the reason I even bring it up, of course, we want to congratulate on a 50-goal season at 31. Not a whole hell of a lot of people have done that in this league, as long as it's been around. And that's something that needs to be celebrated and not overshadowed by this bullshit narrative that because he's wealthy and he got every opportunity and Zach Hyman executed. Growing up playing hockey, I knew a lot of rich kids that were afforded all these opportunities. And guess what? They're not in the NHL right now. They're working their fucking 9 to 5, doing the same shit every single day, not playing in the NHL. So that, that narrative to me is such an utter bullshit that, let's celebrate Zach Hyman, 31 years old. This player, for anyone who's known and been able to watch him, yes, he has played with Austin Matthews. He's played with Connor McDavid. Great. This dude has worked his balls off since his days at the University of Michigan, for people that have can really remember back. And I think it's something that needs to be celebrated. Again, 30 50, 50 goals as a 31-year-old. I mean, anyone who scores 50 goals in today's NHL, unbelievable accomplishment. So I wanted to bring that to light. I thought it was just such a great, so great to see the hockey community come together and just kind of, again, come to Zach Hyman's defense, because it's bullshit that I honestly never thought I would see. And again, you're watching the video and you're trying to like understand where this guy's come from. And just the more that he talks, the more dumb he sounds. And I don't know, like I said, it was great to see everyone, come to his defense, because it is something that needs to be celebrated. So that was the only point that I wanted to bring up about Zach Hyman. Congratulations on 50 goals, man. Sam Reinhart as well hit 50 goals, last week. Austin Matthews ripping it up. Huge accomplishment, 50 goals. Unbelievable. Some other news and notes from the NHL. Kind of keep it quick so we can get into the interview. What an electric night last night for Josh Doan, his family, his pops, Shane Doan, playing at Mullet Arena, absolutely shit-pumping the Columbus Blue Jackets, getting not only his first goal, his second as well. Unbelievable, man. Like, it gave me chills watching, to be honest. I mean, to the rookie lap, to the, him scoring that first one with the hard work in front of the net. And then second, man, that deflection he had off the Matias Michelli shot, unbelievable. This kid is going to be he is here to stay in Arizona. And I think he's going to be, I really liked that line with him and Michelli. They played exceptionally well together. Just such a cool thing to see. It's like a storybook type of thing, right? Where he's got his pops, number 19, legend in Arizona, Shane in the stands, watching. Josh takes 91, obviously played at Arizona State, had an unbelievable career there, has the opportunity to wear the Coyotes sweater, the very sweater that his pops, legendary captain, and Potts, two Genos, his first game. It's something you just can't even fucking make up. Unbelievable night. It was so cool to see. Gave me chills. And it looked like that barn was rocking, which is great to see. And of course, I want to see Arizona keep a hockey team. And that gets much more into other shit that we're not going to get into today. But place was rocking. Unbelievable night for Josh Doan. And congratulations to him. Electric rookie lap, lettuce flowing. And he, he just looked like he was having a blast out there, and just a storybook, something you can't even make up. Moving on to, we're going to talk some college hockey, because listen, we have a huge, huge weekend starting on Thursday. We've got some unbelievable games coming up, tomorrow. We'll say today when this episode drops. Right now we're talking, I'll go through all the games and I'm going to give you guys my bracket. You guys will be able to check that out. It'll be posted as a link. Feel free to fill out your own. We'll put some empty ones up there. Feel free to fill out your own, send them to us, DM them to us. Again, we've got some incredible games tomorrow starting at 2:00, in Springfield, Mass, at the Mass Mutual Center. Starting off, we've got number 3 Denver against UMass. That's going to be the first game at 2, followed by University of Maine versus Cornell, which is going to be another matchup I'm really excited to see, especially after watching the Nadeau brothers. They came up short, against Boston University, played a hell of a game. They most definitely belong in this tournament. Followed by 5:00, we've got Boston University, the second-ranked BU Terriers, against RIT. Everyone's commenting on the TikTok I made saying there's going to be an upset. I do not see this Boston University team getting upset. Man, there's no way. I shouldn't say there's no way, because you know what? In hockey this time of year, NHL, NCAA, it doesn't matter what it is. That's why you play the game. anything can happen. I just don't see it happening. And I meant, and after that game at 8:30, we've got Minnesota versus Nebraska Omaha. Another great game. So again, that is Thursday's slate. We will have boots on ground in Providence at the Amica Mutual Pavilion all day. For both games, we have Boston College. And I do want to mention as well the Springfield bracket that I just mentioned. I'll go through all of them. These games are going to be at the Amica Mutual Pavilion. Boston College, the number one ranked Boston College Eagles against Michigan Tech, followed by Wisconsin taking on the national defending champions, the Quinnipiac Bobcats. And then over in Missouri at the Centene Community Ice Center, Maryland Heights, Missouri, we've got Michigan State taking on Western Michigan, followed by North Dakota and Michigan. So we've got some unbelievable matchups here. Again, I didn't break down where those games, the Mass Mutual Center in Springfield is going to have those two, the Denver and UMass games, followed by the Maine and Cornell. And then Sioux Falls is obviously going to have BU, RIT, Minnesota, and Nebraska, Omaha. So listen, I'm going to make a separate video for this tomorrow. You guys are going to be able to check out a little short with me breaking down my bracket. That is just kind of talking about the games that are actually happening. So stay tuned tomorrow, starting at 2 p.m. You can watch on ESPNU, BC and Michigan Tech. 5:30, you're going to be able to see Wisconsin and Quinnipiac. That is Friday. I'm an idiot. The Thursday games are Denver UMass at 2. I was looking in the wrong area, like a Nimrod. Denver UMass, UMaine Cornell, followed by BURIT and Minnesota and Nebraska. Friday, however, we will have boots on ground. We will be in Providence for those two games, wanting to see BC. This team is so fun to watch. In the Hockey East Finals, obviously, we got to go watch them. Man, that Will Smith is unbelievable. Cutter Gauthier, adding things to his arsenal, being a phenomenal, not only just a phenomenal goal scorer, but a tremendous three zone player at this point. Obviously we know he can put the puck in the net, but I think one thing that's really noticeable in Cutter Gauthier's game is his ability to play in all three zones and be responsible in his own zone defensively. So he's added a whole new, I guess, bag of tricks to his arsenal. And geez, he's so fun to watch. Kid can play. Followed by Wisconsin and Quinnipiac. I'm really excited to see, Hobie Baker nominee, Colin Graf, friend of the pod, Sam Lipkin, and Jack Quillen. I think this line is unbelievable. They're fun to watch. Again, this is a team that could be very dangerous down the stretch, as they move on in their journey to St. Paul. With that being said, we're going to get into, last but not least, the Hobie Baker. Last week, we announced the nominees for the Hobie Baker, 10 names that came out. And what we're going to do today, I had a really good discussion with Colby, Colby Cohen, who joined us on the pod. You guys will be able to hear from him in a little bit, who he would pick. He's still on the committee, the voting. Didn't give us necessarily his pick, but he gave us who he thinks is going to finish at the top. And I tend to agree with him. So let's get right into it, guys. Listen, I'll reiterate the finalists. Jackson Blake from North Dakota, Macklin Celebrini, BU, Jack Devine from Denver, Cutter Gauthier, BC, Colin Graf, Quinnipiac, Lane Hudson, BU, Kyle McClellan, University of Wisconsin, Liam McClinsky, College of Holy Cross, Sam Morton from Minnesota State, and Will Smith from BC. I wholeheartedly think it's going to come down to three names. Macklin Celebrini of Boston University, Will Smith of Boston College, and Cutter Gauthier. I think it's going to end up being Macklin Celebrini. Reason being is I think as good as Cutter Gauthier and Will Smith are, I think, and I agree, Colby had brought this up and it was something that really resonated with me. I think it's something that could actually possibly hurt them being on the same team doing that. The reason why, I mean, Macklin Celebrini is not doing it himself. He's obviously got a great supporting cast, one of the best defensive cores in the country. He's got great line mates. But I think seeing what he's done as the youngest player in college hockey, I think inevitably it's going to go to him. And I think he's most deserving of it. The names I just mentioned, these are all studs. Unbelievable talent. Colin Graf's going to be right up there. And then obviously Lane Hudson. Jackson Blake I have on my list right here. Those are two guys, although they weren't in the top three, I think those are two guys that could easily be right up there. At the end of the day, I think it's going to come down to those three guys that I mentioned. Macklin Celebrini, who, my God, man, like, I think so. The Hockey East tournament was the fifth time I've gotten to watch this kid, and he is just unbelievable. His warm-up regimen, his warm-up routine, his hands are unbelievable. Hands are just unbelievable, so fast. The way that he sees the ice, he's 2 and 3 steps ahead of everyone. He almost brought back BU himself in that game against Boston College. I mean, he was getting good opportunities. It was nice to see. Listen, you could see he was getting frustrated, had a little bite to his game. And again, he's great on the dot, in the faceoff dot. My clear-cut number one pick, as you guys know, with our mock draft, picks 1 through 10. And again, he's every little bit as advertised for this Boston University team. I think it's gonna go to him at the end of the day. Any one of those three guys I think are deserving, but I think Gauthier and Smith being teammates could maybe affect how they swing these votes. But yeah, it was a great point that Colby brought up. So again, that will be all in the podcast and the interview coming up here in a couple minutes. And again, I'm going to be dropping my picks 11 through 20 with Buffalo, Calgary, New Jersey, the Islanders, Minnesota, Detroit, Philly, Washington, Vegas. So again, we've given you guys 1 through 10. I'm going to continue that this week. It's going to be a separate short. So you guys stay tuned for that. And again, yeah, we were able to get Colby Cohen on for, fuck man, it was like 25 minutes that he took out of his day, and obviously super swamped. He's going to be covering all the games, the BC, Michigan Tech, Wisconsin, Quinnipiac in Rhode Island with John Bujikross. So again, super grateful that he took the time out of his busy schedule, his busy day, to come chat with us here on Drop the Mitts. We've got some super exciting stuff coming up, guys. A store, we've got a website going up. I want to get back into some writing some articles and whatnot, and just super, super pumped. Really exciting times. We've got some awesome guests coming up, lined up for you guys. So listen, we want to get right into the interview. We talk some college hockey. Listen, we talked about the legends of John Bujikross, Barry Melrose, what they've meant to Colby and his journey being an analyst. And again, that legendary goal he scored for BU winning the national championship, what he remembers from that day. And again, just an unbelievable guy, incredibly knowledgeable about the game of hockey, college hockey. And again, just one of the best guys that I've gotten the opportunity to get to know. So without further ado, everyone, this is episode 36 of Drop the Mitts Hockey Podcast, brought to you in partnership with Primetime Productions. And yeah, without further ado, the beauty himself, Colby Cohen. Take care, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Drop the Mitts Hockey Podcast, brought to you in partnership with Primetime Productions. We have an unbelievable guest today, analyst on NBC, ESPN, former professional hockey player, BU legend, Colby Cohen. Colby, how you doing, man? Thank you so much for being here.
BU legend. I don't know, man. I there's some – those are big shoes to fill. I got a big goal, but – definitely, I appreciate it,
man. And you know, I'm a big BU guy. I'm from the area, so man, honestly my first question is: can you take us through that goal you scored? You know, Shaddy drops it back to you. What do you remember from that play, man? I was watching the broadcast the other day, and you said it was going to go in anyways. The thing looked like a missile.
Yeah. Well, I hit the crossbar earlier in that game. I think in the second period on a play where I kind of walked in and kind of let one go from the offside, a place that I scored a lot of goals from when I was there, kind of my area on the ice on the power play. I think Bonino gave me one like right in a good spot. And in the game before that, I hit a post as well against Vermont. So like, I was pretty like dialed on where the puck was going for me. So like, I was thinking short side high all the way on that. And then the guy goes down and gets a piece of it. You know, obviously everybody knows how that went in. So I honestly, like, I wish I remembered more of it to be totally honest with you. Like, it's a little bit of a blur, but you know, this time of year, it seems to get talked about, you know, quite often just because of everything going on and my involvement in it and whatnot. So always fun to live those moments, you know.
With the old Easton Synergy too. I remember you brought that up, man. I'm like, man, I miss those days. But yeah, you mentioned, man, one of the best times of year. We got, you know, the regionals coming up. You're going to be in Providence with Bucci covering those games. Obviously, BC is going to be there. Out of the four regions, with Providence, Sioux Falls, Springfield, and Maryland Heights, out of those regions, which one do you think is the deepest and has the most talent out of all these?
Deepest and most talent, I think, maybe are different responses. I think deepest is St. Louis. I mean, Michigan, North Dakota, Michigan State, Western Michigan. I mean, that's a big time schools, big time regionals, big name programs. Michigan, North Dakota. I mean, nobody has, you know, those guys are right there with Denver, BC, like for most national championships. Michigan State as you know, it's a big brand. Western's been good all year. They've been knocking for a couple of years, so that's probably the most difficult region. But you know, from a skill standpoint, I mean, there's really no team that has more skill than BC. I mean, that they're, you know, they've proven it all year. They've been the number one team most of the year for a reason. It's not a fluke. I mean, they're definitely the best team going into the tournament. I mean, there's no other way around that. You watch what BC can do. You see the skill, the talent, the way they play together, the goaltending. They hit every box. Their defensive group is really good. And look, I think BU is another, you know, they're a really good team. They've been number two in the country for most of the year behind BC. I think BC's beaten them three times. BU's beaten them once. So BC's been better. Again, you know, results are what they are. So I think BU, you know, we should see them back in the Frozen Four. No doubt BC should be in the Frozen Four. I think Denver could find their way back to the Frozen Four this year, although they'll be probably without Rizzo this weekend, who's you know, one of their best players. But I think I wouldn't be surprised to see the big name schools back in the Frozen Four this year. Like, wouldn't shock me to have three or four blue blood types of schools back in Minnesota this year at the Frozen Four.
Are there any games that you look at and like could potentially see like a big upset in? I know a game I look at, man, is this RIT team. You and Bucci mentioned they're one of the older teams in this, you know, in this tournament, the oldest actually. And as good as BC is, are there any games that you look at and, you know, think, wow, there really could be an upset here?
Yeah, I don't think RIT is going to beat BU by any stretch.
Sorry, BU.
My bad. I just don't see that happening. I think BU's just been too good. I mean, you never know. And as far as BC Michigan Tech goes, I mean, I like we'll see what happens, but I just can't imagine BC losing. Like, they're just too good. They've been too good all year. Their players are too good. You know, I think if I was going to guess one of – you know, Butchie thinks UMass could beat Denver.
Especially without Rizzo, man.
Yeah, I think Denver's too deep. And I just think that, you know, UMass relies – two of their top leading scorers are defensemen. I love Scott Mora. I think he's a tremendous player. Ryan Ufko, yes, another good player. I just don't think they have enough firepower up front, UMass. And – like Michigan State, I think, you know, is going to have their hands full with Western Michigan. I think Western Michigan's a big, strong team. They play straight line hockey. They can score. I think it'll depend. You know, I think Augustine could be the difference in that game for Michigan State. So, you know, I think I'd keep an eye on that Western versus Michigan State game. I'd keep an eye on that one. The UMass Denver game, I'd keep an eye on that one. Although I think Denver will win. But again, it's one game. You get down early. You get a hot goalie on the other side. You really never know. I think that's kind of what makes this exciting. Like, it's not a best of seven where the better team's going to win. You don't have to be the better team to get through one game. Like, you can get a couple of good bounces. You can get a hot goalie and hang on in a one game format. So, you know, those are things to kind of keep in mind.
You know, you being a former defenseman, you bring up Michigan State, a guy that I kind of have been covering. I do a lot of draft coverage. Artem Levchinov, obviously he's getting a lot of hype. He's going to be, you got to think, within the top five, potentially top three. Have you gotten the opportunity to watch this kid? And if so, what are some things you like out of this kid?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've seen him play three times this year, so I don't have a lot of viewings on him. Now, if they make the Frozen Four, that'll change. Right. I actually, the other browsers on my computer right now are Instat. I was just watching Boston College's power play entries. Next I'll get into Michigan Tech and I'll start watching their zone entries. I'll start watching their D zone. Right. You know, I go through every team. I look at their zone entries. I look at their D zone. I look at their special teams.
Right.
You know, I just try to really get an idea of who these teams are, you know, like, cause I haven't seen Michigan Tech play this year. Right. So as far as Levchinov goes, look, he's got everything you want in a defenseman. He moves the puck. He skates well. He's very offensively gifted. I like the way he defends. You know, we look at him as this offensive defenseman, but I think he defends quite well. He's kind of a total package, and you're not a top three, four player in the NHL draft as a defenseman without being very complete in a total package. So what will be interesting to see is once he gets drafted, does he jump right away? I think he should stay another year. I don't think leaving after 1 year for a defenseman is the right decision. So I think that's more the intrigue with him. But it's hard to pick out what you like or don't like with his game because he's really good at everything. Yeah, I mean, he's an elite level player who looks to be like he's going to be, you know, a really good NHLer.
Yeah, very seldom do you see like defensemen just hop in right away and just are able to contribute. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer for them to develop. Like Victor Hedman comes to mind, took a little bit longer as the number two pick. But kind of going back to the tournament, are there any players that you kind of look at as maybe not getting necessarily a ton of recognition that could really make an impact for their teams? I mean, obviously this past weekend, you know, Cutter Gauthier ripped it up. Will Smith had an unbelievable weekend. The usual guys, right? Are there any players that you kind of look at that could really make a significant impact for their teams and help them out that people may not necessarily know about?
Probably. I mean, look, everybody knows who Rutger McGroarty is, but like he's not being talked about enough.
Right.
You know, like they spiraled out of control when they didn't have Rutger due to injury in World Juniors this year. And then the second half of the season, he just went on a mission. Didn't get put in the top 10 for Hobie, which I thought was crazy, like insane. Yeah. But I think watch him. Like if Michigan's going to go upset North Dakota, it's going to be because what he does. I mean, he's going to have to drag that team through that game and through that regional and probably, you know, with an opportunity to have a little rematch with Michigan State if they can get through North Dakota. I'm not sure they can, but like he's a guy that I absolutely love. You know, I think, you know, just kind of, I got all these line charts and in front of me from my region. You know, I think another guy, you know, from Quinnipiac is probably Colin Graf. I think, you know, last year they win the championship. He didn't really stand out in the Frozen Four. I think Lipkin and Quillen had better Frozen Fours than him. Quillen gets the game winner from Lipkin, but I think they were more impactful. I thought Graf faded out a little bit. So I think Colin Graf is another guy to keep your eye on. He's going to be a big free agent signing. He's got a shit ton of points. He's in the Hobie conversation this year. I think he's a good guy to keep an eye on with that team. Obviously, Sam Lipkin's a seventh-round pick from Phoenix – or not Phoenix, from Arizona. He's another really good player that – if Quinnipiac's going to beat Wisconsin and then have a chance against BC, it's going to have to come because those guys are really raising their games.
You had mentioned on the selection show that you are still part of the Hobie Baker committee. If you had to narrow it down to like three guys that you think are really, really deserving, because you mentioned, I was shocked that Rucker McGroarty wasn't on there. I shocked by it. There was a couple other guys. Gavin Brindley, same thing, another Michigan guy. Yeah. If you could narrow it down to three guys that you think really have a legitimate chance, most deserving, who would those guys be?
So, I mean, look, I think it's Cutter Gauthier. I think it's Macklin Celebrini, and I think it's Will Smith. Yeah. And I wonder if the whole Smith and Gauthier being teammates thing hurts them, you know, because it's like one or the other type of situation. But you know, in fairness, you know, I don't see the West quite as much. I do watch some of those games on CBS and other avenues, but I probably got some homework and some digging to do more. But if you were to tell me right now, write your three in on the ballot. I mean, on my ballot, the way we do it, once they get the 10, then the committee takes the 10 and we vote on the award. The committee and we put our guys and we rank them 1 through 5. Those three players will be in my top five. Gauthier and Celebrini will be 1-2 on my Hobie ballot. I'm not sure which way yet. I don't know yet. I've gone back and forth. I had Celebrini, and then this weekend I think Cutter Gauthier probably put himself in front of Celebrini, but there are other factors at play, like who Celebrini plays with versus you know, who the other guy plays with. So those guys will be number one and number two on my ballot. I don't know the order. I think Will Smith will most likely be number three on my ballot. And then 4 or 5, I'm unsure about. I think, you know, Graf is a name to keep an eye on. I think there's a couple of players out West that I'll really be keeping an eye on and digging in a little bit more on. So that'll happen here over the next 2 weeks. We'll put those ballots in and we'll have our committee call and, you know, go through our process of picking the Hobie Baker.
For sure, man. And kind of want to transition a little bit before we end here to your broadcasting career. You've had an unbelievable career this far. I mean, it's very, very short, but you've made a significant impact. You've worked with some absolute legends. You mentioned Bucci, Barry Melrose. Man, and obviously we know about, you know, the sad, you know, Barry going through, you know, Parkinson's, freaking terrible. Man, what has it been like working with those guys? What is, you know, again, what impact have they had on you in your career in broadcasting?
Yeah, I mean, look, those are two of my, you know, Butchie's one of my closest friends in the world. You know, our relationship goes so much farther than broadcasting and just our friendship and you know, how much time we hang and we talk all the time. You know, Barry is just the best. Like, Barry is Barry. Like, what you see is who he is, right? And he treats everybody great. You know, I would have never had the chance to join the Frozen Four crew. I think this will be my six years now with them, you know, on this top crew. And I did three or four previously, not on that crew. And Barry was the one who had to okay it. You know, they wanted to add me to the crew. I think Butchie too, but I think for mostly it had to be Barry to sit there and go, yeah, I have no problem with this. And he did. And the time I got to spend with Barry, I got to know him. We had so many dinners together, breakfast, lunch, dinner, every meal together for basically 2 weeks a year. And we just had so much fun. I mean, Barry's, he's the best. Like, honestly, one of my favorite people I've ever met in hockey. To me, he's on my Mount Rushmore of people I met in hockey. You know, him, Jeremy Roenick, I'd put on Mount Rushmore. JR, too. Yeah. There's guys that I've got to hang out with and spend time with that I got to watch as a kid that just turned out to be the best humans ever and people that I just love and they love back and I have such good relationships with. So, you know, it's been awesome. Butchie's great because he's been, you know, a friend, a little bit of a mentor. He's helped me a lot. You know, he's not afraid to give you feedback, stuff like that, which is great. So those guys have been great. I've also got to do games with Kenny Albert in the NHL and Sam Rosen. And those guys are Hall of Famers, man. Like Sam Rosen's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he is.
I got to do a ton of playoff games with him over the years. I did some playoff games with Kenny Albert. And they're great guys. And they're not all like that. I've worked with a couple of really big name guys. I worked with one Hall of Fame play-by-play guy who was a total prick. Couldn't have been more of an asshole to me. Just thought he, because he called thousands of NHL games, thought he played thousands of NHL games. Right. And that's not the case. And There's a lot of play-by-play guys and broadcasters out there that are like that. So I'm just really fortunate that the ones that I've worked with the most have all been really, really good people. And, you know, I worked with Kevin Brown on the NCAA tournament. He's doing MLB now. He was a great guy. You know, Clay Matfick's awesome to work with. He's a really, really, really good guy. What a shame he didn't do the women's Frozen Four.
I know, man.
I think that's a big miss. Not having Clay do that game, he's just far superior to what they had on the air over the weekend. I mean, no question. You can't even argue that fact. Yeah. But I've got to work with good people, and you know, none better than Butchie and Barry. But this year will be strange without Barry. I know last year he didn't work as much. He didn't do regionals, and then he did one of the doubleheader games in the national championship. But I could talk. We could spend an hour talking
about
the stories and the dinners, and you know, we always were ribbing him about ordering his steak well done. You know, Barry's a farm boy from Western Canada. Like Barry's childhood, there was a bell that went off at 4 a.m. and he was out working in the fields of his farm and milking cows. And you know, he'd work until noon, and then he'd go to the hockey rink, and then he would work on hockey and play hockey and this and that. So. You know, he's as down to earth and as good a human being as you will ever come across on this planet. And, you know, I wish him nothing but the best. And I know we'll talk about him this weekend.
For sure.
I think we've got some cool tributes that we're working on putting together to run in this and the Frozen Four, because, you know, he's the best. And the last couple of years were hard seeing people criticize him so much when I knew that he had Parkinson's. Yeah. Like Barry never wanted to go public with Parkinson's until he just had. I mean, he's been dealing with this for close to 5 years now. And, you know, people would be, you know, so awful and negative about him on, Barry doesn't watch college hockey and this and that. And it's like, well, people from these small schools need to realize. Yeah. I saw something on Twitter the other day. Some fan from Omaha is like, these guys, can we get some people from the West? Well, let me just explain something to you. Nobody outside of Omaha is watching University of Nebraska Omaha. I know it's the most important thing to you in the world, but you're not playing on national television.
Right.
you're in middle America. Like, it's a great program. I played in Lincoln, Nebraska. Great people, great program. But like, you can't expect me on Friday and Saturday night to go on the internet and watch your games. But what happens is the NCAA tournament comes around. We have programs like Instat, and I will learn more about your team over the course of this 5 or 7 days than you will ever know about your team. I promise you.
Right. So
when I see that type of shit, I'm just like, give me a break. And when you look at the analysts in the NCAA tournament, Sean Richland, Michigan, Paul Caponigri, Ohio State. Okay. Ben Clymer, Minnesota. I'm the only guy from the East.
Right.
So it's just like, It's so annoying. Yeah, on Friday and Saturday night, when I'm home with my family, we're going to watch BU.
Yep. I will see
you. We're BU fans, okay? Now, granted, once I'm working, you have to put that aside.
Right.
But, like, we're human beings, right? Like, we watch –
it's inevitable, man.
Exactly. So when I see this shit about, oh, Barry doesn't know college hockey,
that's blah, blah, such blah. Bullshit.
Barry has forgotten more about college hockey – excuse me. Barry has forgotten more about the sport of hockey than anybody on Twitter will ever know about the sport of hockey. He's forgotten that much, right? Yeah. Like, this guy is an institutional wealth of knowledge about the game of hockey. Legend. So,
like I said, man, growing up, I mean, watching, you know, watching college hockey, I live for it. And he was a staple in my childhood. You know what I'm saying? Like professional, college, everything, you know, Bucci, like, it's
people I'd rather don't get have it. Barry doing a college hockey game because he's Barry freaking Melrose than someone who did 70 games for college hockey during the year. I just would. It's Barry Melrose. Right.
Yeah, like, I agree.
He knows the game. Okay. Yeah. Sure. He may confuse, like Butchie made a joke. He calls college programs organizations and this and that. But like, so what?
Who gives
like,
a shit?
So freaking what? So
we know what he's talking Barry. About.
Yeah. We'll miss Barry this year. Yeah. We'll talk about him for sure. It won't be the same. But, you know, hey, like this is unfortunately like how life goes. And, and like I said, I wouldn't be in the situation I'm in with ESPN with the NCAA tournament if not for Barry. So I you know, can't say enough good things about him.
Yeah, man. Again, just hate to hear that stuff. I know Bucci's doing a ton to try to support with, you know, the shirts, you know, all the merch that you can get. I'll post that obviously in you know, the episode link and whatnot. But Colby, I can't thank you enough, man. I know how busy you are. It's you just taking the time.
Busiest, it's definitely the busiest 2 weeks of the year for me. And you throw in the fact that my daughter's birthday happens right during the NCAA tournament, her first birthday. So we've got family in and around and stuff. So it's a little bit of a shit show. So, I appreciate you having me on. Thanks for your service, man. You know, obviously that means a lot. It really does. I actually work with the Flyers Warriors here in Philadelphia. Our team, we're getting ready for Nationals is actually the same weekend as the Frozen Four. So I won't be there to coach. But we've got four teams. We've got 100 players. They're all disabled veterans. Our program takes care of all their equipment, all their entry fees, our travel. We take care of it for all the guys. It's really cool. It's one of my favorite things that I do. So, you know, I just wanted to say that to you. You know, your service is appreciated. And I don't think enough people realize that we get to do what we do because of people that have sacrificed like you have. Otherwise, we wouldn't get to do what we do. You see what's happening in other parts of the world. It's not happening here because of people like you. Okay. And, you know, it's horrible to see. And, you know, our greatest ally in Israel, you know, is going through it right now. And we see what they're dealing with over there. You know, my family has deep, deep ties. My last name's Cohen.
Right.
You know, put two and two together pretty quickly there.
Right.
You know, our service, our vets, our active, you know, duty, our reserves, like people just don't realize how, like, we use the word hero way too nonchalant these days, but those are the people that are true heroes. It's not just them. It's firefighters. It's police officers. It's,
absolutely, man.
You know, it's service workers. Those are what heroes are like. And that's where it ends, right? Like, that's where it ends for me. So I appreciate that, man. I really do.
Colby, that's so kind, you know, to hear. It makes me emotional hearing stuff like that because, it's unbelievable knowing what I don't get to serve anymore. That was taken from me. But, you know, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to be on here.
I know I missed you last time. I know we were trying to link up. So when you asked me, I'm like, I got you. We like, let's just do it really quick.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, I'm getting through my preparations now and doing stuff with my family. So I appreciate it. And I'm sure you'll be watching a lot of hockey this
absolutely,
week.
Absolutely, man. All right, man. Well, you guys can follow Colby at Colby Cohen 36. You most definitely, if you guys are in the Boston area, you're going to be seeing him if you're watching the BC game. Him and Bucci will be covering those games. Again, you can follow him at Colby Cohen 36, host of Morning Cup of Coffee with our buddy Laz, who's a beauty and himself.
Morning Cup of Hockey.
Dude, my brain is in a blender.
You're not the only one. Everybody does
morning
that.
Morning Cup of like, Hockey.
Didn't I say that? And I'm like, no, you said Morning Cup of Coffee.
Everyone, you know what's hilarious? Yeah, I wrote it down too. Just whatever, man. My brain's in a friggin' blender, but. Man, can't thank you enough. Best of luck, everything, you know, with your child's birthday, everything, family coming in, huge weekend, amped up for it. Thank you again, brother.
You got it. All right, buddy.
Take care, man. That was Colby Cohen, legendary analyst. I mean, man, he's really making a name for himself, you know, in the college hockey world. Again, I can't believe I fucked that one up. Morning cup of coffee. I don't know what the hell, my brain. Morning cup of hockey. And I mentioned you can follow him at Colby Cohen 36. Again, one of the most knowledgeable guys I've gotten the opportunity to, you know, follow. You know, I always love seeing his takes. Him and Laz do an unbelievable job with their podcast. But again, scored that legendary goal for BU to beat Miami of Ohio. So we can't thank him enough for taking the time out of his busy schedule. Obviously, we've got the regionals coming up. Gave us some cool knowledge there, a little preview of what's to come. But that wraps up episode 36 of Drop the Mitts Hockey Podcast, brought to you in partnership with Prime Time Productions. That was Colby Cohen. I'm your host, Chris Davis. Again, we hit a couple milestones pretty recently. We hit 10,000 followers on TikTok. We are getting dangerously close to 100 subscribers on YouTube. That is something I never thought would have happened, and it doesn't happen without you all. Unbelievable. I can't believe I'm even saying that. So grateful, so blessed to be able to do what I do. And again, I have you all to thank for that. So I greatly, greatly appreciate you guys more than you will ever know. And again, that wraps up episode 36. We'll see you next week. Take care, everyone. Love you guys.